Don Brastas, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, sir. How are you going, sir?
Same thing. A slight variation here. When Mr. Thompson became Prime Minister, he said he wanted a meeting, a breakfast meeting, with three former finance ministers. That would have been Owen Arthur, Richie Hayes, and Sir Lloyd Sandiford. He wasn't about the mayor. In the body shifting. Arthur declined. Well, Arthur declined and the whole thing went kaboom. Right? I would like to focus a little bit on the virus, coronavirus. Now, you hear a lot of people in Barbados keep saying that they keep repeating it without any substance or without any evidence that if the Prime Minister had closed down the country, the borders, Barbados would not be suffering what is suffering now. They can't bring the evidence. Now, the airport was reopened on the 12th of August, 2020. And Barbados didn't have an outbreak. They didn't have an uptake with the virus. For 5 months. 5 months. Okay? 5 months. They're not. They're in denial. Most of the people are talking this and saying this are in denial. They're in denial in the fact that the Barbadians themselves have inflicted the greatest damage regarding the coronavirus being here and the community spread. They're not talking about that. They can't bring their evidence. As I said, the airport was open 5 months. We didn't have a spike. Okay, let me just look at this here. Let me just tell you this. On the 7th of February, 2021, I got it back to friends. On the 29th of December, 2020, we had 372 cases. Okay? 372 cases. There, right, 372 cases, they've done 69,052 tests. By February the 7th, 2020, the cases jumped to 1,814 cases. We had 108,831 tests. So you know what that is saying? We had between 29th December 2020 and 7th February 2021, we had an additional 1,442 cases. Okay? That is the significance there. That is the indicator that when things went off the radar, when Barbadians were setting, etc., Christmas parties, etc., this is where the blames lay. And we are talking about tourists. Now, even in the infection rate, or the infection rate, let me call it this. Now, between this period of December and February, our infection rate now gone up to 3.6%. But you know, all along, for several months, our infection rate was under 1%. When you do the total tally, from the time the virus came to Barbados, our infection rate now went back up recently, as I said, at the end of December, and it gone up now. And this is for the period December 2020 to February 2021 is up. That period is 3.6, but actually the overall period, the infection rate is still under 1%. You know.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, Ostas, man. Because perfectly honest, I don't know how beneficial this conversation is in terms of Barbados going forward. Because I think that we basically dug that already. So I really don't know that it helps to be blame in the way that we want to lay. But let's interrogate the issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there was no COVID in Barbados, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
People could have gone to bus crawl. They could have gone to FET. They could have gone to bars on the East Coast. They could walk up on one another. They could have do all of these things. And there would have been no spread of COVID.
Right.
The fact that we actually had this outbreak in infections means that whatever barrier that was placed between infected persons coming into Barbados and the uninfected in Barbados was crossed or was breached in some way, and that's where the problem occurred, right?
Right.
I don't think it is fair to say that the problem occurred because people went to bus crawl and behaved as they like, or alternatively that people went to the West Coast and behaved as they like. I think that the real issue was the fact that somehow or the other, there was a breach regarding someone who came into Barbados that was COVID positive and was able to get out of the barrier that was created, the physical barrier around the hotel room or whatever, and they were able to infect people, and the rest is history.
No,
having said that, but how you could disagree?
Yeah, go. You go ahead. You continue.
Right.
You continue.
So I'm saying that if it is that we have established that happened, I think that we have a couple of priorities. One, we have to stem the flow. So we have to deal with the spread. We have to deal with the lockdown to ensure that as few people get infected as possible. We have to take measures to ensure that in the future, something like that could not happen again in terms of people being able to get into Barbados and get out into the public with COVID. Those steps have already been taken, and I'm happy that the new measures seem to be able to deal with whatever tourists decide to come back, how they're dealt with. And then the third thing, we also need to deal with inoculation. To me, those are three important conversations. And I really don't know that this whole matter of the percentage point difference and whatnot and the level of infections, so that I don't know that this is helpful.
Yes, it is. Because it proves the point, right? Now, you said just the last point when it was interjected. You had to interject. You said, the people breaking curfew or whatever, the quarantine. Let me ask you, weren't there Barbadians who broke the quarantine? But, like, they have family that came in from overseas, and they went to the quarantine centers and mixed up with their family, took items that their family brought from them, and took them home in Barbados.
Yeah.
They don't have instances of that.
Statsman, I used bad language when I said visitors, okay? Persons coming into Barbados were able to breach the protocols. And I'm not saying that it was a visitor, that it was a local. I'm not sure how it happened, but I am saying that we erected physical barriers between visitors and locals.
Yeah.
And those barriers were breached. And as a result of that, we have COVID in the community. And I don't really know that it helps to say, We should do this, we should do that. The point is, how are we going to deal with the situation now?
You said you used bad language, and I agree with that, right? Because you didn't say, but Barbados come back. But the point is, Barbados continuously be blaming that the government to not closing the borders, but they cannot bring any specific regarding that. Because the borders were open, or reopened, or the planes were coming back for 5 months, and we had the issue. The issue, that's what I'm saying. They're in denial and keep saying it before evidence. That's the point that I'm making.
A couple of things might have happened, and one of them is that there's a new strain of the virus. It's possible that the new strain was was more transmissible. The other point is that over the Christmas time, we actually had more visitors coming in. You know, and I think that would have made it difficult because initially there was not a lot of people coming in, but we had a whole lot of people coming in, which made managing the issue a bit more challenging and problematic.
But as you said earlier, you got what people are saying, right? What people are saying, you got to clarify the difference between visitors, or you use it as one. You say you knew Bangladesh. The Barbians are included in these visitors.
Yeah, right. No, right. That's true. Barbados are visitors. People coming into Barbados.
But the real people are saying, because people keep saying, man, we ain't had no virus here, and allowed people to come into Barbados and bring it and infected us. That statement is incorrect.
You know what? My response to that is very simple. When I say to people, I know several individuals who had no guests, no visitors, had Airbnbs that were empty, people who work in hotels and restaurants that had no business, no work, that were home sitting down from the COVID and were starving, right? When the few tourists came around, as much as people were concerned about the fact that people were coming into Barbados, and as for many people who were saying, keep the borders closed, the reality is that they got a little work, they got a little money, people had some money circulating, and a lot of people had a better Christmas than they would have had if it wasn't for the fact that we had a few tourists knocking around the place. And then I take a look at Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago still has not opened their borders, but Trinidad and Tobago is rampant with COVID.
All right, then.
I would say to people, I don't really understand the point, because you have a situation in Trinidad and Tobago where the borders are closed, have been closed from the beginning, and continue to be closed. And Trinidad and Tobago wash away with COVID.
Wash away. I don't think there are any countries that didn't close the borders and they still wash away with it.
I would say that the country that seems to have been most successful, because St. Lucia had breaches, St. Vincent had breaches, Dominica seems to have also had breaches. The country that seems to have been most, Antigua certainly had breaches. Mm-hmm. The country that was most successful was St. Kitts and Nevis. But St. Kitts and Nevis had a highly unrealistic, highly impractical system. And they also have very few visitors coming. I don't even think they had a single flight from the United Kingdom coming to St. Kitts and Nevis. Because to come into St. Kitts and Nevis, you had to subject yourself to 14 days in quarantine. And the reality of the situation is that they did not have a problem, largely because they didn't have anyone come in, to the best of my knowledge. So if you want a best case scenario, St. Kitts and Nevis seems to be the best case. But they had a 14-day quarantine and they had no visitors to speak of. They had a lot of Kitticians coming back home.
But a tourist-oriented country like Barbados simply cannot do it. We simply cannot do it.
There you go.
You just got to balance the livelihood. You know,
The United Kingdom has now imposed a similar system to ours, and the cost for quarantine. And what they have done is they have quarantine hotels, so the entire hotel is a quarantine zone, and it's what, £1,700. You know, it's not cheap. So they have set it up so that no one in their right mind, and then you gotta pay for three tests.
Yes.
No one in their right mind is going to subject themselves to that kind of exodus. Either that's not going to go to the United Kingdom. And I think that's what they're hoping.
They're discouraging. That's all I would like to say, because what I'm saying, we must take a look, even after the last lockdown, that was happening on a continuous basis, daily. People are breaking the rules and the regulations. Mm-hmm. You can't blame a government for this.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Stas, man. Good chatting with you. We can talk again soon. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Good morning. Am I on the air?
You are on the air. Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. Back to the vaccine itself. Just a bit of information I wanted to share. I have recently been informed by a friend of mine who works in the medical field in the U.S., that it's advisable to take half a dose of the vaccine. This is the AstraZeneca vaccine. For the first dose, just take half. Then for the second round, you can take the whole. I know there are a lot of people who are apprehensive about any potential adverse effects or reactions, if you will. So I just thought I would share that information with the public.
Okay. All right, ma'am. Thank you for calling and for sharing that. Thanks a lot. Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, you know, yourself.
Good.
Good. Now, Peter, I want to deal with three topics here, but I'm going to be very quick. Huh? Mm-hmm. First, I want to say to you, Peter, I want to stop listening to fake news, man. George Payne was one of the most committed persons to the Barbados Labour Party. And I know that George don't do anything to hurt the Barbados Labour Party. I know the man only too well. I think I can tell you that. So ignore the fake news.
But Neil wrote a message and told me that it's fake news.
Right, exactly. So,
and I read that out online, but right. I mean, all I said is that there was a rumor, but Neil already said that he had nothing to do with that. So,
right, so I don't have to spread the fake news. Now, Peter, you know, you had another resignation within the Democrat Labour Party yesterday, not from the party, from within the executive. You heard about that one?
Hmm.
A resignation.
Which party?
The Democrat Labour Party. You heard it?
No,
yesterday?
I never heard about that. No.
Yeah,
who is that?
Guy, I can't remember his name. On the executive, the youngster who was involved with something, marijuana or something.
Oh, this is Kimar?
Right. He resigned from the executive of the Democrat Labour Party yesterday.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard that news of Voice of Barbados.
Mm.
So I'm beginning to wonder if there's indeed, Peter, a problem within the party, or is it the leadership of the lead of Verla or herself that creates these problems with these fellows in the Democrat Labour Party? What do you think on that?
Mm-hmm. She has some challenges. She has some challenges.
I thought
that the Kimar issue was handled badly. The Kimar Stewart issue was handled badly. And I think I said that on this program. I thought she handled that issue badly. I think the issue with Simon was also handled badly. I believe the issue with candidate selection has been handled badly. I think you would agree, I've been very charitable to Verla from the beginning because I supported her, but I really haven't had a lot to support a Fung since she has become leader of the Democrat Labour Party. And I can well understand that people are seeing the party is not really, it's not going anywhere, and they may want to abandon ship. The Simon issue was to me one of the two. And I mean, the thing with Kimar as well, I think that those issues were both handled badly, you know? I mean, what is it that Kimar has done that he should not be considered a valuable member of the Democrat Labour Party? What is it that he has done? Right? Don Valinis has been convicted of an offense. I don't believe Don Valinis has been suspended from the Democrat Labour Party. Why do you suspend Kimar? And Kimar hasn't even been convicted of anything. He's just been charged. And then as far as Simon is concerned, you know, I thought that Simon was an asset to the Democrat Labour Party. When a person who is as good a potential candidate, and let me state here at the outset that I do have a bias because Simon is a former student and I think very highly of him. But when a person like him can't get a nomination, and you could nominate Dennis Lowe, but that's not a party that anybody needs to associate with.
You know, Peter, and it caused me to wonder if indeed there's a faction within the Democrat Labour Party now, and I'll tell you why. Now, I was away from my home for a whole month since December. And to my astonishment, Peter, I came home and I found a postcard in my house. Someone threw it through my window, I guess. And it carried the logo of the Democratic Labour Party. A picture to the front of this postcard with a gentleman, B. Ricardo Harrison, season's greeting. And it read, "To the constituents of St. Michael North, I am B. Ricardo Harrison, wishing you a blessed holiday season and a wonderful 2021.
Who's that?
Ricardo Harrison.
Who's that?
I don't know who is, Peter, but I find this postcard in my house, the DLP logo, a postcard carrying a picture of a gentleman. B. Ricardo Harrison, season greetings.
This is St. Michael North?
St. Michael North. Okay. I know the last candidate we had in St. Michael North was Kim Truda.
Yeah.
So I began to wonder, because as I also tell you, I can remember Verla, the last time she spoke, she said that they were halfway in the selection of candidates. At the end of the process, we would know who all the candidates with the Democratic Labour Party is. You remember that statement?
But she said that a year ago. She said that January last year, that as the year turned and they celebrate Alvaro's birthday, that they're going to nominate all the candidates. And the year doesn't turn and turn back and end. And we heard nothing about it.
The fact of the matter
is that the candidate selection in the Democratic Labour Party is moving like molasses rolling up a hill.
Right. And, 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 and,
And in the meantime, the one person that has come out openly and declared that they are a candidate is Dennis Law. And if I were Simon, I would be offended by that fact. You could confirm Dennis Law as a candidate, and you can't confirm Simon as a candidate. Indeed, you can confirm that Simon will not be a candidate. But would Simon do that he can't be a candidate for the Democratic Labour Party?
Peter, I also want to know if this Ricardo Harrison is a member of the, I mean, is one of Burley candidates, or if he is a part of the faction within the Democratic Labour Party.
You got me wondering, no. You got me wondering, no. Down to brass tacks, we're on with you now until 12:30, and at 12:30 we take a break for the latest news. Until then, we speak to you on 434-1790. Email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com. Quite a bit of WhatsApp messages as well to read, but I'll go back to the phone lines and maybe we can catch up with those after the news. Good afternoon and welcome.
Yeah, Peter, I'm still here.
You're still here, right? So yeah. I almost forget what you were telling me now. Yeah, why you finished?
I was speaking about this guy, Ricardo Harrison. So right. I would like him to come back so I would know if he is indeed a candidate for the Democrat Labour Party or if he belongs to the new fraction of the Democrat Labour Party.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who this person is and where he came from. I remember hearing Berla saying that there was going to be a group nomination. Basically, she would announce the full list of candidates, but I don't know, you know, what has happened in the meantime. But that's interesting. You know anything about him in terms of his origins or anything?
Not at all. I don't even recognize the picture.
Yeah. But the other point is that he could be an interested person, interested in a run, but that doesn't necessarily mean he has been approved. So it's possible that he's interested, but maybe he's not approved.
So I wonder if he jumped the gun because I was listening to see if Verla would announce the candidates. So I'm still sort of confused. Who is this? Ricardo Harrison. So I do hope that he would come again to St. Michael North. Yeah. For me, you know.
Verla listens to Brass Tacks sometimes, so hopefully she's listening now and she may very well give us a comment.
Right, yeah. I was wondering, Peter, if he was a member of the same group who met her in the southeast of Barbados on a regular basis over the last couple of months.
There's a group in the southeast?
There's a group in the southeast, Peter. Prominent members of the Democratic Labour Party. So I wonder if this guy is a part of that grouping as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just am at a loss.
But they're meeting virtually or they're meeting physically?
To be honest with you, I know the last time before we had the COVID, Peter, there was meeting individually. There was meeting at a particular location individually.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they're doing it now we have COVID, but I know it's an active group.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And before COVID, Peter, I must tell you, they was keeping meetings and making decisions and didn't even invite him further to these meetings as well. I can tell you that for sure. I can tell you that for sure, Peter, because someone showed me the location and I make it my business at evening and find nighttime about 8:30. And I saw these people driving into this particular location. I identified at least three well-known persons. So, Peter, you can do something.
I would love if any of them would comment. One of the intriguing things I found recently was, I don't know if you know of a program called Survey Monkey.
No, I never heard of it.
Right. There's a program called Survey Monkey, and there was a survey going around, presumably on behalf of the Democratic Labour Party, asking various questions like, how do you assess the tenure of Verla de Pisa? Who would you like to see leave the Democratic Labour Party? Would you like the new candidates or the old candidates to come back? It came to me in a couple of chat groups, and I was curious to know who was behind it. Do you know anything about this Survey Monkey survey?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But yeah. I must tell you though, to be quite honest with you, I am very frank about this. I always listen to people who lead parties or come forward to lead parties. And to be quite honest with you, Verla don't even sound her position. I mean, she don't create no impact on no one whenever she makes a statement. And I believe those fellas recognize that. And something is in the making eventually. I thank you, Peter.
Mm-hmm. All right, sir. And I can't say I disagree with you because I think I've said before that my sense is that her days are numbered. And indeed, even though she may soldier on to the next election, my sense is that, you know, she's not going to be the next person that leads the Democratic Labour Party into Parliament. I'm keen on the announcement of candidates, though, and certainly we've heard precious little on that. She's promised us a list last year. I guess we should also be promised a list this year, but I'm really curious to know if this person you're speaking of is Michael North and others may very well be on that list of candidates. I have a gentleman here telling me that he would really prefer, let me make sure I don't misquote him, a gentleman who was WhatsApping me just now, he said that he would really prefer none of the old candidates of the Democratic Labour Party to come back. He's arguing that he feels that these candidates have, in a sense, betrayed Barbados. And here we go. Yeah, I would prefer probably people who lost last time not to return because I feel that the party needs fresh faces and voices. I cannot forgive anything for what they did. And I view with contempt the way that they treated people in Barbados. So that's a view of one of these people who is commenting now. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. Hello. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you doing, Peter?
Not too bad. Well? Not too bad. I'm good.
Good, good. How is things in France? Beautiful?
My cold, but beautiful.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Now, Peter, I won't take up much of your time because I can imagine the phone lines must be quite hot with a lot of callers. Mm. Okay? I would just simply say two or three things. I would say them, then you could comment after I put down. Okay? Number one, with the issue that, or I won't even call it an issue, statements and things that were being said by the caller not too long ago, right? Do not speak of things that you do not know about. Do not go by rumors that you may hear from other individuals that may have other agendas or different reasons for doing and saying different things. Right, Kay? If you want to know about the gentleman's name that he was talking about over and over all the time, Mr. Harrison, pay him a call and he will tell you what you need to know about him. That's what I would say to him. Now is not the time, okay, to be really diving in dissecting the leadership skills of President Verla de Pisa. Now is not the time for that, because if they want to go down that road, we can dissect a lot of things pertaining to the present administration and their tenure in government. Now is not the time for that at all. Now is the time to move forward, as you were telling an earlier caller, being come with a lot of false statistics and his own acclamation and what have you. Barbados did not create the coronavirus. It was brought in. And the only way it can get in is either one of our ports of entry. So when you are speaking, you must speak with common sense. Don't speak because of your affiliation or how you may feel about something. You need to put those things aside. Put emotions aside, put them out of the equation, and you deal with reality. The reality is we are facing a pandemic that is neither fault of nobody in the world, really. Well, to some extent. The thing is that we have a situation here in our own Barbados we need to deal with. Okay? The Democratic Labour Party, okay, that I am proud to be a member of, okay, cares about this nation, cares about the people. And we went beside everything and worked with even the present administration and trying to fight this virus. This is about leader, who is right, who failing, what may be told them going ahead in the next election or what have you, as I've been hearing. Which is very annoying to hear this kind of talk from people. But people are bored, they are home, and they have clearly nothing else to do but call the airways, rather than call with an antidote. Let me finish, and then we'll speak.
Sir. No, but you're taking a long time to get to the point.
Okay, the point is, I'm making the point already. The point is that whatever goes on in the realms of the Democratic Labor Party is the Democratic Labor Party's business. Anybody else's business out here. Because if the shoe was on the other foot and we were challenging and dissecting them, you would hear a lot of talk as you have done in the past. Thank you.